Us again. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2. While you're turning to Philippians 2, thank you from my heart to you for those who have had a part, who have helped to prepare things ahead of time for the DDR, which is just down the road a little ways in Masterson. And some of you have been praying for this retreat. If you haven't, I would challenge you to start praying today, because you will have a reward in heaven if you've been praying, or even start praying today, for this DDR, that God would work in the hearts of men and women who are here for this purpose, to grow their relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to see people know Jesus. To know Him is a major purpose. We even exist, that He created us for us to know Him. And to know Him is to love Him. And if you would be praying these next few days for us, you would receive some reward in heaven as well for what God is doing, is going to do these next few days. This message this morning is, I don't normally give a title, but if I gave it a title, I would call it "The Son of God, the Basis for Our Love." Jesus is the whole reason we love God. He came to show us His love, to God's love, to demonstrate God's love to us and for us. If you would stand, I'm going to read Philippians 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 5. I will read Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Philippians 2. Is it not on? It's on the inside of my tie. It is. There it is. Beginning the reading in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who," talking about Christ Jesus, "being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself," and oh, how he did, "and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus," let me repeat that at the name of Jesus, "every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Turn over a page, possibly chapter 3, verse 10. I mentioned this already, but I just want you to see it's right here in the context of Philippians, where the Apostle Paul says, "that I may know him." That I may know him. I'm not going to read the rest of the verse. The Christian life, I'm going to pray in a minute, you'll sit down. The Christian life is all about Jesus Christ. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not even about this church. It's not about your music. It's not even, really, it's not even about a book. It is about the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we believe that. Probably everybody here does. But we need to be reminded again just who you are. You, Jesus, are the basis for our love. The basis why we love God and should love God. And should love God more. Should love you more. Because of who you are. You're the focus of the universe. You're the focus of the world. The focus of all of creation. The focus of the cross. You're the focus of the church. You're the focus of world missions. It's all because of you. We're here because of you. This is Sunday, the Lord's Day. This is Sunday when we come together as believers to worship you for your death, burial, resurrection. And because of who you are that made you come, loving us to come and die, to be buried, to rise again, to give us life eternal. Oh God, I need your help. We all need your help. We pray that the Spirit might speak to those who have open ears and open hearts. May we listen to you. May we be touched. May we be inspired, challenged, encouraged in our faith to live for Jesus like never before. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Approximately 40 billion people have lived on this earth since Adam and Eve. Since the very beginning of time. It's a mixture of people, races, tongues, tribes, nationalities, countries, cultures, different languages. Some countries have lots of languages. It's a mixture of social levels, intellectual levels, educational levels, and economical levels. This world is a mixture of Buddhists and Hindus and Catholics, a mixture of Shintoists and Taoists, Spiritists, Atheists, Agnostics, Muslims, Protestants, and true believers. The world is a mix of people. All were created with body, soul, and spirit. Every single person. Everyone will live. Or die. And go to some place forever. Either they will go to heaven or they will go to hell. Forever. And the decision to go to heaven or to go to hell depends on what they do with Jesus Christ. Doesn't depend on any other decision. Doesn't depend on whether or not which church they go to. Doesn't matter how much money they give. Doesn't matter if they've been baptized. Doesn't matter if they've spoken in tongues or not. There's a lot of things that doesn't matter. But one thing does matter. What they do with Jesus. And let me just say this. If there was a way for people to be saved and to go to heaven, something they could do to get to heaven without Jesus, he never would have come. Why would Jesus leave heaven for earth, be born of a virgin, live like a man, live the life of a human, and then be treated like he was, be taken to a cross and on the way be beaten, smitten, crowned with thorns, die, have his hands nailed, his feet nailed, a spear in his side, why would he come from heaven for all of that if you and I could be saved some other way? That doesn't even make sense. The only reason he would need to come is because we can't be saved another way. If we could be saved another way, it would be like a drowning man helping another drowning man to save himself when he can't even save himself. Dr. J. Oswald Smith said, "He stands alone. Jesus Christ stands alone. He has no equal. There has never lived anyone on earth like Jesus Christ. No one ever more important than Jesus Christ." You know that little simple chorus that we sing with children many times? Jesus loves me, this I know. It's about Jesus. It's not about Mary. It's not about Francisco. It's not about Peter, Paul, and Mary. It's about Jesus. For the Bible tells me so. But who is Jesus? This morning, in this message, I want to describe to you who this Jesus is. And if you think you're going to take notes, you're going to need more than a pen to do so. Who is Jesus? Let me explain it to you. To the baker, Jesus is the bread of life. To the gardener, Jesus is the vine and the first fruits. To the brick mason, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. To the carpenter, Jesus is the door. To the astronomer, Jesus is the sun of righteousness and the bright and morning star. To the economist, Jesus is the hidden treasure. To the diver, Jesus is the great pearl of price. To the soldier, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. To the lawyer, Jesus is our mediator. To the politician, he is our governor. To the student, he is our professor, our master, our rabbi. To the grammarian, Jesus is the word. To the writer, Jesus is the author of our faith and the author of our salvation. To the doctor, Jesus is our great physician. To the pilgrim, Jesus is both the guide and the way. To the dead, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. To the sinner, Jesus is the Savior. Who is Jesus? He's the sweetest name I know. Jesus Christ is God. The Bible tells us that He's God and He has always existed as God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. In Philippians chapter 2, we just read it. It says this: who being in the form of God, God's very image on earth, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because He is, because He's a part of the Trinity. Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. And He is forever God alone. Other religions, other beliefs can claim they have gods. They're just false gods, so-called gods. They're idols, they're images, they're icons, but they are not Jesus Christ, and they are not God, and they don't compare. None of them love sinners like Jesus Christ. But the world doesn't know Him. The world still doesn't know Him. As God, let's go back to the beginning. What did Jesus do before He was born in Bethlehem? Well, John 1:3 tells us that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He's the Creator. Colossians 1:16 and 17, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." He created it all. All things, Colossians says, were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. As the eternal God, He existed even before heaven itself existed. He not only laid the foundations of the earth, He laid the foundations of the heaven of heavens. Jesus Christ created everything. Everything on the earth, everything in the seas, everything in the air, everything in the cosmos, the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the comets, everything. The beast in heaven, the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim. They all were created by Jesus Christ. The tree of life that's in heaven, the very throne that God sit on, was created by Jesus Christ. He is God. He was not only creating the universe, but He was controlling and sustaining the universe. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that Jesus Christ upheld all things by the word of His power. He holds it together. He is before all things, and I repeat this verse in Colossians 1:17. By Him, all things consist. In the Old Testament, He is known as the angel of the Lord. He appeared many times to men in order to guide the affairs of men and the interest of men for their best and His glory. He appeared to men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He appeared to men like Moses and Joshua and Gideon and Samson's parents and Isaiah, even to King Nebuchadnezzar. He appeared to hundreds of princes, to Daniel, to Zechariah, to name a few. This is the Jesus I'm describing to you. The one who loves you and deserves your love. Who is Jesus? The New Testament goes on to tell us more about Jesus. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man. He, as God, humbled Himself and was born in the flesh as a man. We just read these verses in Philippians 2 again, verses 7 and 8. It says, "But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us." He left heaven to come to earth. He left a throne for a manger, and later for a cross. Our Creator became a creature, yet He was treated worse than a beast. Jesus Christ left His crown, His treasures, all for a crown of thorns. He left His glory for humiliation. Our God was considered and called Beelzebub, the devil himself, and treated like the devil. He left the sight of His Father, left the glory of the angels in heaven to lie among animals in a manger and die among thieves. Who is Jesus? Let me tell you about Him. Jesus, as man, suffered the weaknesses of any human being. As the man, God, He was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, was tempted by the devil, wept at the death of a friend, felt compassion for the multitudes, felt wrath toward hypocrites, felt agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. He suffered affliction and torture, was beaten of man, and the Bible says in Isaiah, considered to be smitten of God. He was humiliated, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There on that cross, Jesus Christ died for you, for me, for the whole world. And it's a shame that most of the world still does not know Him. He, our bread of life, hungered as a youth. As our living water, He thirsted as a man. As our strength and perfect rest, He was tired enough to sleep as soundly as a baby in the midst of a storm. He, our refuge and high tower, faced dangers of demons and devils and perils of men. As our great physician, He suffered. He shed His blood, and He was afflicted for our transgressions. Jesus Christ, our eternal health, was beaten and bruised, that by His stripes you and I might be healed. He who breathed into man the breath of life, that man might become a living soul, He breathed His last breath on the cross, proclaiming, "Tetelestai, it is finished, paid for, your debt, the sin debt is canceled." He, our source of life, gave up the ghost that we might partake of His Spirit. But the world doesn't know Him. How well do you know Him? Do you know this Jesus that I'm talking about this morning? As God in the flesh, Jesus still had the power of the divine being. He had supreme authority and power over disease, over sickness, over nature, over demons, over men, over the tradition of the Jews, over the Mosaic law. He had authority. He had authority over sin. They asked Him, "Who has authority to forgive sin but God?" Jesus. Because He is God. And He even had authority over death itself. For He conquered it and He rose from the dead on His own power. No one helped Him get out. No one helped Him get up. Christ, Jesus Christ, is the God-man. What does He do today? What does He do today? He's still alive today. He does sit on the throne of heaven, but He comforts those who mourn. He cares for those who are orphans. He takes care of widows. He feeds the famished and He heals the sick. He raises the oppressed and lifts up the fallen. He binds up the brokenhearted and He proclaims liberty to the sin captive. He saves and He keeps. He guides and He guards. He intercedes and He intervenes. He promises and He provides. He directs and He defends. He attends and He aids. He supplies and He satisfies. No one can satisfy the hunger and the thirst of your soul like Jesus Christ. But the world doesn't know Him. Much of Africa do not know Him. North Africa, full of Muslims. South Africa, full of so-called Christians. They still don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus, as God, receives and accepts adoration and worship. He accepted worship from angels, from shepherds, from wise men, from a leper who was cleansed, from the chief of the synagogue in Capernaum, whose daughter was healed, from the mother of James and John. He accepted worship from His disciples in the boat. He calmed that storm and they began to worship Jesus. But we should worship only God, right? Right! Jesus is God. I'm describing Him to you. I'm talking about who He is and what He does. And from the women who followed Him all the way to the tomb, they worshiped Him. Jesus as God is, and also as man, did not sin. He was perfect in every way. Did not sin a single time. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians verse chapter 5, verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Only God is sinless. The Apostle Peter said about Jesus, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." John the Apostle said, "And in Him is no sin." The author of Hebrews said, "He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." That's Jesus. That's God. He is the focus of the universe. The focus of our worship should be the focus of our lives. He was declared just and righteous. Judas himself confessed, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." Pontius Pilate repeated 3 times, "I find no fault in Him. I am innocent of the blood of this just person." Pilate's wife came to him and said, "Have nothing to do with this just man." The thief on the cross next to Jesus said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." Even the Roman centurion at the foot of the cross proclaimed, "Certainly this was a righteous man. Truly this was the Son of God." He was immaculate in His thoughts. He was irreproachable in His feelings. He was holy in His desires. He was pure in His actions and words. Jesus Christ is God. And as God, the God-man on earth, He suffered tremendously. He suffered rejection and affliction by the Jews, accusations by the religious leaders. He was condemned by the Romans. He suffered crucifixion at the hands of sinners. He was hunted by King Herod, pursued by the poor, followed by the disciples, rejected by the religious. He was halted by the politicians, persecuted by the ridiculed by both the thieves to begin with, betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, and crucified by you and me. Jesus suffered tremendously. And yet He came as a lamb to the slaughter, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He suffered and He died. And as our Savior, He gave His back to be scourged by the Romans. He gave His face to have His beard plucked out. He gave His face to be spit upon by both Jews and Gentiles. Jesus gave His head to be cruelly crowned with thorns. He gave His clothes to the soldiers who crucified Him. He gave His hands and His feet to be nailed to a cross. He gave His side to a violent spear. And He gave His life on a rugged cross for a wicked world of sinners like you and I. But most of the world doesn't know Him. And to be honest with you, most of us don't worship Him like we should. Most of us don't give Him enough time like we should. Today, Jesus is seated on the throne of God in heaven. In Romans 8, we learn that, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Christ intercedes for us where? On the throne of God, because He is God. Hebrews tells us, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Do you know who Jesus is? Let me tell you about him. He is the Son of Mary, the Son of Man, the Son of Joseph, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, the Son of Adam. And most importantly of all, he's the Son of God. He is deity, the second person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. Yet he is consubstantial in his substance with God. He is co-essential in his essence with God. He is co-existent with the Father and co-eternal with the Spirit. But most of the world doesn't know him yet. And most of us don't worship him or serve him like we should. As our God, he is invisible. As our Lord, he is ineffable, inexpressible, indefinable, indescribable. As our King, he is invincible. No one conquers Jesus. He is eternal. He is holy. He is immutable. He is just. He is compassionate. He is merciful. He is loving, for God is love. Christ, by his own will, created the world and all that is therein. With his eyes, he observes all the activities of men. With his ears, he hears the prayers of his dear children. With his arms, he delivers the just. With his hands, he feeds the hungry. With his feet, he walks with his saints. With his heart, he bleeds for the lost. And he loves the unlovely. Christ is the legislator of the law, the arbiter who wields the gavel of heaven. He is the attorney in the heavenly court of justice. He is the judge of sinners. He is the mediator between God and man, the King of righteousness. He is the righteousness of the saints, and he is the King of glory, and he will come in. But most of this world doesn't know him. And most of us don't serve him, love him, bow before him, and obey him like we should. Jesus Christ is the serpent lifted up in the wilderness, the one who bears you on eagle's wings. He is the ram of Abraham, the red heifer of Israel, the lion of Judah, and the Lamb of God. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd, and he is the supreme shepherd. Talking about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? He clothes the lilies of the valley. He sustains the birds of the air. He knows the sparrow and he sees it when it falls. He owns and he feeds the cattle on a thousand hills. He is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He's the true vine. Christ is the seed of the woman. He's the sacrifice of Abel, the ark of Noah. He's the bride of Isaac, the righteousness in the law of Moses. He is the sword of Gideon, the heir of David. He's the Holy One of Israel. Jesus Christ is the rod out of the stem of Jesse. He is the branch out of Jesse's roots. He is the Son of Man in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks, in the middle of the churches. He is our mercy seat of propitiation, which is a symbol of our cleansing and our forgiveness. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That's Jesus. Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you worship him like you should? Do you spend time with him as he would desire? He is our table of showbread, the bread of life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. He is the altar of burnt offering. He is the lamb sacrifice on that altar. He is the holy garments of the priest, the symbol of our righteousness. He is our ark, the ark of our covenant, which is the symbol of our communion with God. And He is the altar of incense, the symbol of our worship to God. And He is the pure golden candlestick. He is the light of the world, for He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But most of the world still doesn't know Him. And many of us don't treat Him like we should. Don't love Him nearly enough. Jesus is the heart and soul of the Scriptures. He is the core and crux of the Bible. Jesus is the theme of the Old Testament. In Genesis, He is the seed and descendant of the woman. He is our Shiloh. In Exodus, He is the Paschal Lamb and the Passover sacrifice. In Leviticus, He is our high priest, the burnt offering, the peace offering. In Numbers, He's the star of Jacob, the brazen serpent, the cloud by day and the fire by night. Jesus in Deuteronomy is the prophet that was to come, the solid rock. In Joshua, He's the prince of the host of the Lord and the captain of our salvation. In Judges, He is the man of God and the angel of the Lord. Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus in the Old Testament. I'm talking about Jesus in the Bible. He's the same today as He ever was. In the book of Ruth, He is our kinsman redeemer. In the book of 1 Samuel, He is the great judge. 2 Samuel, He is the seed and descendant of David. In the book of 1 Kings, He is the Lord God of Israel. 2 Kings, He is the God of the cherubim and the most holy. In 1 Chronicles, He's the God of our salvation. 2 Chronicles, the God of our fathers. Ezra, He's the Lord of the heavens and the earth. In Nehemiah, He is the God that keeps the covenant. You can count on Him. In Nehemiah, He is the master builder. In Esther, the divine providence. In Job, He's the living and resurrected redeemer. The supreme arbiter. He is the day spring from on high. And oh, in Psalms, He's the good shepherd. He's the anointed one, the holy one. He's the king of glory. In Proverbs, He's the divine wisdom. The wisdom personified for us. He is the Son of God. In Ecclesiastes, Jesus Christ is the only true shepherd. In the Song of Solomon, He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. In Song of Solomon, He's also the beloved shepherd lover and our bridegroom. In Isaiah, He's the son of a virgin. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, Isaiah can go on and on about who He is. Let me just try a little bit, give you a little bit of what Isaiah has to say. He's wonderful. Though men considered Him worthless, He's the counselor. Though men considered Him criminal, He's the mighty God. Though men considered Him a weakling, He's the everlasting Father. Though men considered Him a son of fornication, He's the Prince of Peace. Though men considered Him a perpetrator of division, He is the righteous servant, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. In Jeremiah, He's the Lord, our righteousness. In Lamentations, the faithful and compassionate one. In the book of Ezekiel, He's the ever-present Lord, ever dwelling in the presence of His people. As well as He is the Shekinah glory of the Lord. In Daniel, He is the stone that smites, the mountain that fills the earth. In Hosea, He is the faithful husband. in Joel. He is the God of war. In Amos, He is the God of the armies. In Obadiah, He is the conqueror of the proud. In Jonah, He's the resurrected prophet. The God of second chances. Amen to that. The God of second chances. In Micah, He is the God of Jacob. He is the Bethlehemite. He is the God of pardon. In the book of Nahum, Jesus Christ is both the zealous revenger and the messenger of peace. Wow. In Habakkuk, He's the eternal God. He is the rock. In Zephaniah, He is the restorer of the remnant. In Haggai, He is the Lord of hosts and the desire of all nations. In Zechariah, He is the branch, the pierced Messiah. Yet He was still the triumphant King. Malachi paints Him as the Son of Righteousness who arises with healing in His wings. Jesus. He's the foundation and focus of the Spirit-inspired text. We read about Him all through the Old Testament, and yet most of the world does not know Him yet. Shame on us! Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And part of the reason is because we don't live for Him like we should. We don't take Him to the lost, even here in Dumas, like we should. In the New Testament, we find that Jesus Christ in Matthew is the King of the Jews. He is their Messiah, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David. He is the Master Discipler. In Mark, He is the Servant most lowly. In Luke, the Son of Man most humble. The Son of Adam. In John, He's the eternal God. The eternal Word. He was the Word and is the Word and always will be the Word. He is the only begotten of the Father. He is the Lamb of God. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the resurrection and the life. Did I say life? Jesus Christ is life. To know Him is to have life eternal. That life eternal is not in the church. It's not in Mary. It's not in water. It's not in baptism. It's not in speaking in tongues. It's not even in your Sunday school pen and your faithfulness to God. Salvation is in Jesus. In the book of Acts, He is the ascended Lord, the Lord high and lifted up, and He's the hope of Israel. In Romans, He is the Lord of righteousness, but also to sinners, He is a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Because they don't want Jesus. They want something of their own making, of their own imagination. And yet Romans chapter 1 is very clear. They have vile imaginations. To be saved is to repent of sin and trust Jesus Christ and the sacrifice He made on Calvary. That's all. In 1 Corinthians, He is our resurrection. The perfect love. The last Adam. In 2 Corinthians, He is the God of all consolation. The God of all sufficient grace. In Galatians, He is the Redeemer from the law. Because of Jesus, you don't have to keep the law. Because of Jesus, you don't have to keep the letter of the law. Because of Jesus, you don't have to go to Jerusalem and offer up animals. Because of Jesus, you can kneel at home, kneel at church, kneel in your car, sit at your steering wheel in your car, and be saved. Because of Jesus. In Ephesians, He is the head of the church and the chief cornerstone. He is the obedient servant, the exalted Lord in Philippians. His is the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Colossians, He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 Thessalonians, He is the Messiah, the Christ that is to come. In 2 Thessalonians, He is the conqueror of the evil one and the Lord of peace. 1 Timothy paints Him as the mediator between God and man and the ransom for us all. He is the judge of the quick and the dead, Timothy tells us. Titus paints Him as the great God and Savior, our blessed hope. Amen for that blessed hope. In Philemon, He is the payment for our debt. In Hebrews, He is the heir of all things, the merciful and faithful high priest, the great intercessor, the supreme shepherd of the sheep, the mediator of the new covenant, and the author and finisher of our faith. In James, He's the great physician. In 1 Peter, He's the spotless lamb, the stone rejected by men, but elect and precious in the sight of God. In 2 Peter, He's the beloved Son. In 1 John, the heavenly lawyer and the propitiation for our sin. In 2 John, He's the Son of the Father. In 3 John, He is truth. In Jude, He is the divine and powerful keeper of our souls, the only wise God, our Savior. In Revelation, I hope you weren't really wanting me to come to the end of this, because I don't want to finish it. In Revelation, He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lion of Judah, the bright and morning star. He's the faithful and the true, the Word of God, and He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's Jesus Christ. But most of the world still doesn't know Him. Who is He? Jesus Christ is the great I Am. The gift of God, the precious friend of sinners. Have I described Him to you yet? I'm giving it a try. Yet Christ was arrested by the Romans, condemned by Pilate, crucified on a cross, buried in a dark, cold tomb, and guarded by soldiers. But the grave couldn't retain Him. The guards couldn't restrain Him. Death couldn't hold Him, and Satan couldn't control Him. Then God highly exalted Him and gave Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, as I've said twice already, but it deserves saying a third time, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ will return from the highest heavens someday. He will return for His own, for His children, His saints, and He will receive us unto Himself. 7 years later, He's going to come back. He's going to come back to judge and to condemn, to war and to destroy, to conquer and to reign. And then He's coming to bless and to restore for 1,000 years. He's coming again. Jesus Christ will reign for 1,000 years in righteousness and peace on this earth. The world will go up to Jerusalem to worship and will take Him gifts. And at the end of the 1,000 years, millennium reign, He will sit on a great white throne and He will judge. He will destroy the heavens and the earth and will cleanse it of all sin. He will create a new heaven and a new earth, and that will be inhabited by His saints. And He'll reign forever and ever 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 and ever. Amen. But the world doesn't know Him. Most of the world still doesn't know Him. And most of us don't do anything about it. Most of us don't even live a life worthy of His name or represent Him well to the world around us. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball join in that everlasting song and crown Him, crown Him, crown Him Lord of all. But the majority of the world doesn't know Him. Some have never heard of Him. We don't do enough to proclaim the name of Jesus. May you be challenged this morning. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the basis of our love. He's the basis for our trust. He's the basis for our obedience. He should be the basis for your faithfulness, the basis of your hope, for He's worth loving. Oh, can I say that one again? Jesus is worth loving. He's worth knowing. And if He's worth loving and worth knowing, He's worth talking about. How is your relationship with Jesus? Has it grown cold recently? Mediocre? Are you lukewarm? When was the last time you could honestly say that you were on fire for Jesus? You love Him. You love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you willing to deny yourself? Willing to take up a cross? Willing to obey Him? Willing to do His will alone? Are you willing to serve Him? Wherever, whenever, whatever, however, forever? What has He done for you? He's done a lot. I've tried to describe Him to you and all that He's done. Now, what are you going to do for Him? What is your response to Him? And as the piano continues to play, I ask you, friend, what will be your response? Have you, friend, decided, or do you need to decide today again to follow Jesus? With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, the piano playing. Do you need to come this morning and decide to begin following Jesus, or to continue following Jesus, or to pick up the cross where you left it some time ago and begin following Jesus afresh? I have decided to follow Jesus. If God's spoken to your heart about your relationship with Jesus in any way, let's stand. Some are coming. You come too. If God has spoken to your heart, what's holding you back? Jesus did it all for you. For you? Would you please pray for those who have come? They would be faithful in their following Christ.